This is the OTB Television Network, a service of Capital District Off-Track Betting.
Broadcasting live from the Capital OTB studios, this is Racing Across America with Seth Merrow.
Good morning and welcome to the Saturday edition of Racing Across America. I'm Seth Merrow. Thanks for joining us. Thanks also to our friends at Gulfstream for their sponsorship. Gulfstream Park, champions start here. In a different world, as it were, but Gulfstream still racing. Tampa Racing, we'll have some Oaklawn this afternoon. And obviously a big day, kind of wrapping up the meet, or the highlight of the meet at Fairgrounds with the Louisiana Derby and a great undercard of stakes. We'll have that today as well with an early post time. Our time, they'll kick off at about noontime Fairgrounds. A little bit later, I will in fact talk to Joe Christofek, interviewed him yesterday about today's card and got some stakes thoughts from Joe. So that'll come up bottom of the hour or so. We will plug in with Joe Christofek, but we're going to start things out now again in a different kind of a world where it was a little over a week ago. It was last Thursday, where I was in talking about the NCAA tournament's going to play without fans and yada yada. And by the end of the show on Thursday, all sports in America except horse racing were done. And it's just, for the horse racing world, it's changed on an hour-by-hour basis, too, literally, over the past week with things changing and juggling up. And to talk a little bit about that, the industry in general and Capital OTB in particular, happy to be joined at the top of the show by Capital OTB President John Signor. John, good morning.
Hey Seth, how you doing?
Very good.
Good to see you.
So far, so good.
So far, so good.
We're all trying to
gauge, right? Gauge what's going on.
I know. As I say, it is a different world. There's no question about it. And the horse racing world, I think, hopefully, has produced a little bit of a distraction for people over the past week or so. And hopefully, we'll be able to continue to do that going forward, horse racing in general. But certainly, it has affected society in general, horse racing also, and Capital OTB as well.
Yeah, I mean, we're in totally uncharted waters, right? I mean, it's we would say, everybody, you know, similar to what everybody else has said, stay home, stay safe. And we're happy that, you know, you do have Capital OTB and horse racing to keep you busy. And we have a huge day today, actually. I'm happy everybody's running. I wasn't sure about Gulfstream, but Gulfstream's in the mix, which is nice. You know, it's funny, I was thinking about, like, back at 9/11, it was sports that brought everybody back to normalcy. You know, once everybody started playing sports, you know, the Yankees played and some of the other games, it seemed like everybody came, it was okay to go out again. But this is a weird animal. And I just wanted to walk through some of the things, you know, obviously at OTB, and we're not the only ones who are impacted, obviously not the only ones who are impacted. I mean, you have restaurants and bars who are really taking it on the jaw. And we, you know, we had a directive from the state that basically said we had to shut down all our branches, the clubhouse. Fortunately, we were able to keep, operate our internet betting site and our phone bet operation. So that, you know, that's at least something. And horse racing has continued. I mean, it's great that's been the case. Naira, unfortunately, just recently had an incident or had a positive in the backstretch, so I guess they shut down, and they're going to be shut down for a little bit. But, you know, so I would say, here's, you know, usually I'm on here and I'm pumping it up, and it's just, you know, it's a little, you know, we've had some sleepless nights at OTB over the last week. So, but, you know, look, if you can, if you're going to bet horse racing, open up an account with Capital OTB, CapitalOTBBet.com. You know, bet on our phone a bet. You need an account to bet through our phone a bet, obviously. I was on Paul Vandenberg yesterday, and I kind of said, look, if you're worried about your job or you're worried about whatever, then you probably should, you know, you might want to hoard some cash away and make sure the family's taken care of first and call your mom and dad. But if you're going to play, then bet with us. I mean, obviously, we're the only region in the state that has their own horse racing TV station. You know, we'd love to provide that to our fans, to the region. And we hope, you know, and for the most part, our patrons have supported it. We've had a few good years in a row, and it's been a struggle to get. The irony is, it's been a struggle to get where we have finally come, and then we've been thrown this knuckle curveball, if you will. And OTB, just background on OTB, and a lot of people don't understand it. You know, there's a lot of people who are always like, you know, New York City OTB, how does a bookie lose money and stuff? Well, it's actually pretty easy. But we've been fortunate. We've turned it into a profit center. We make money. But generally, we pay everything off the top. We pay everything off the handle. If we paid everything off net income, we'd be okay. We pay everything off the top. So that's how you lose money. But OTB isn't really, I think Capital is probably one of the strongest OTBs, if you will. But the other OTBs have video lottery terminals, and we don't have that. And we're not really, you know, OTBs aren't built for shutdowns, if you will. We pay out 100% of our profits. At the end of the year, there's no rainy day funds. We don't keep any money for, you know, there's no fund balance. So, we're dealing with these issues as best we can. There's a lot. And we're trying to, you know, make decisions, the best decisions based on those factors. But then we talked to Seth and Mike, and we said, well, why don't we do shows every morning? Why don't we, you know, pump up the online betting, you know, provide some content for the patrons, you know, have some call-ins, have some give and take. And I thought that, you know, that was working well. I liked that. And actually, you know, we wanted to provide some more content for racing fans who are home, give them something to do. Have them watch a little more racing and get some news and notes, find out what's going on in the racing industry. So then the next directive comes out, which it was funny. I sent our board of directors an email, and I literally said in my email, this could change any second. And literally 5 minutes later, there was another directive saying that 100% of staff had to work from home. Nobody could work in the office. So we're trying to balance that out. That was an all-day affair yesterday, trying to figure out how that works. Seth actually made a good point today that, you know, this is media. So I think that was excluded. I don't know if that's, but as the bigger corporation, I'm not sure, because we're kind of shut down as the bigger corporation. So I guess that's something I'll have to follow up on with the Gaming Commission and see what they say. But we hope to continue to provide the shows, but I'm not sure. I'm not sure if we're able to. And if we're going to err on the side of caution, then maybe it makes sense not to. So we're going to have to look at that. I think after Sunday, our phone about operation is going to close down.
Directive from the governor kicks in tomorrow night, Sunday night at 8 o'clock.
That's right. So after Sunday, phone about operation is going to shut down. Consistent with the directive from the state, because phone a bet, you have 10 people in there congregate, you can't do that. So if you bet through phone a bet, you're gonna now we still have Touchtone. You can bet through Touchtone. You can go on our website. I think Seth did a tutorial on there on how to use the Touchtone. There's a sheet there on how to make your bets, what codes you have to punch in, what keys. So it's all there if you need it. You can call customer service if you have any questions, but the phone a bet center will be closed after Sunday at 8 o'clock. So you need to know that, and you need to make adjustments if you want to bet the horses. You can still bet Touchstone or go online. And, you know, I know the old timers don't like to go after the internet betting site, but it's a new site. It's got a lot of nice features. I think the laptop is the easiest. The phone is, you know, the phone's good. But the laptop has three different ways to bet. I think Classic's the easiest. You just bang it out, and you can make some easy wagers. So So you might want to test that out this weekend. And then if you have questions, you know, let us know. And you can send questions, I think, to marketingmail@capitalotb.com.
Yeah, in the last couple of days, and we'll do it again today with Mike sitting in here. Yeah. He's had plugged his computer in and gone through the sign up, which is very easy. I mean, you're just putting in your information, picking a username and a password, and then you're ready to go. And he also went through the ways to deposit and withdraw money, all very
right.
easy. And again, I think, you know, if you're scared, I think to me the betting site is pretty intuitive, and you just go and play around with it a little bit. And I think really spend an afternoon and you'll have it done.
Yeah, and I think if you go to Bet Now and you can watch all the races, I mean, you have direct feeds there also. So, but if you go to Bet Now and there's a link that drops, there, you just go to Classic. It's the, in my view, it's the simplest and easiest way. So I just wanted to come on, just give a little summary on what's going on with Capital ETB. I don't know what's going to happen. I mean, the big question is, how long does this last, right? I mean, you know, if you listen to all the, you know, the experts, it sounds like it's going to be, you know, it's going to peak in 30 days, something like that. But peaking in 30 days, you know, as it peaks, you're going to have just more and more anxiety and kind of, you know, panic, if you will. And then, you know, as it comes down, I assume that's going to take another 2 to 3 weeks in that ballpark. But then what happens? You know, I don't know, you know, do the tracks all race at once? Do they come on one at a time? You know, my guess is I hope the tracks continue to run. That's our lifeblood. I don't know, you know, I'm not sure if that's going to be the case as the cases, as the positives increase. So I think we're trying to have some foresight and trying to look at it. You know, what is kind of the, I think we have to prepare, because we don't have a rainy day fund or a fund balance, we have to prepare for kind of worst case scenario if we're going to survive this thing. So that's kind of where we are. And then hopefully, you know, I hope the tracks continue to race and then the other ones start coming back gradually, and then we can start opening
our branches. Yeah, the Strana Group, Gulfstream took that day off yesterday,
right.
And the safety protocols seem to be pretty stringent at now all the Stronic tracks, where the jockeys are being kept apart, they have to wear gloves.
Right.
When a jockey's done for the day, he's gone. All the gate crew wears gloves. They attend only one horse at a time. Supposedly the entire gate gets disinfected after every race. So I think the Stronic tracks are now putting in some pretty stringent
major
protocols. So
yeah.
And certainly with the Florida Derby next week, you would think Gulfstream continues on, and
yeah.
It looks like with Oaklawn announcing they're pushing the Arkansas Derby
yeah.
back to the first weekend in May, you would think their thought process is they'll be racing.
It's actually a good idea.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, I was surprised they did that, but that's, you know, that's optimistic. I hope that works, and I hope everybody's back racing mid May or something, or early May. And then, you know, what happens with the Triple Crown? You already have, obviously, the Kentucky Derby, September 5th. I don't know if the Preakness has yet.
Preakness is the big question
mark at this point.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know if they waited out to try to see if they can get in. But I think NYRA should wait it out as long as they can. And, I mean, you basically, if the Belmont Stakes is run on whatever, June 5th or whatever day it would be, that would be the first leg of the Triple Crown.
Yeah.
I mean, that you can't win the Triple Crown without all three. So that would be an interesting dynamic for NYRA. And probably after that, people will be coming out with both fists to try to bet. You're going to have, you know, they're going to be ready to go because everybody's going to be hoarded up for so long. So I hope that's the case for NYRA. And then obviously the Saratoga meet. What happens there? What happens with Travers? And do they move the Travers? Do they compete with the, you know, I thought I read something that, you know, maybe just compete with the Kentucky Derby and see how many New York trainers who love to win the Travers go to the Travers.
I've read that. My thought, though, is take away the Jim Dandy this year, put the Travers where the Jim Dandy
yeah.
is, and then it becomes a really logical prep
right.
for the Kentucky Derby. So I think they'd get a great field if they did that.
Yeah.
Kind of, and I said also, given what Churchill did, putting it where they did, it would be nice if they extended an olive branch and say the Travers is now a win and you're in. So
yeah.
the winner automatically
yeah.
gets in.
Yeah.
But and I will also say it may automatically kind of be a win in your end, because I would assume Churchill has said they're going to now redo the points races, and I would assume it would be a points
right,
race.
Right.
So the winner will get enough points to be in anyway.
Yeah, so that just the irony is the dynamics of the racing year change dramatically, right, for us. I mean, usually the first quarter is slow, second quarter strong, third quarter the strongest, and then fourth quarter is kind of, you know, slows down. Looks like that second quarter might be trouble, right? And then the third quarter is going to be kind of, I would think that would be kind of gangbusters. And then I don't know if the Triple Crown's in the last quarter, then that generally will make the fourth quarter a strong quarter. So just it rearranges your whole thing. Now, that's the least of everybody's issues. The most important thing is everybody staying safe, everybody, you know, hunkering down and staying home and staying away from crowds. And you know, if you're nervous about anything, hold on to your money, keep the family, you know, safe, and then check on the parents and weather the storm, and let's come out of this, you know, hopefully we come out of this stronger. I mean, I don't know where the state is. The other thing is we're kind of tied to the casinos a little bit in terms of, I think when they open, we'll open. You know, we shut down, they shut, you know, when they shut down, we shut down. But the irony of the casinos are that, and I hope they can get open soon, is that number one, you have a lot of people congregating. Number two, you have a lot of older folks in there. It's a weird dynamic. And the other thing we have to consider is behavioral changes, right? You know, what happens when this thing's over? What are going to be the things that people, you know, what is going to be their behavioral changes that they do? You know, or do you have older folks kind of, if they bet the horses, are going to use the phone instead of going to the parlors? You know, I mean, it's going to be an interesting dynamic. It's not going to be, you know, I don't think it's going to be everybody's going to come out once you're able to. I think people will slowly change. I think the handshake thing will, you know, just normal greetings and things like that, I think, will change. And behaviors will change. And
I'm probably still going to be washing my hands 30 times a day.
Right, that's right. Yeah, right. but we have to look at that and think about that, and how does that impact all the, you know, the branches we have, and do we need, you know, if people are not going to be out and about the way they were, we kind of have to think about that and deal with that. So there are just other things that we're thinking about, but it's going to be, you know, I think OTB will get through it. I'm very confident of that. But it's going to be, you know, it's going to be a rough road for everybody. It's not just us. You got the restaurants and bars, you got a lot of businesses that are taking hits. People have small businesses. You know, we have this big corporation that hopefully will keep us going. But we're going to have, you know, we're going to have a little bumpy road for a little while, but I think at the end of it, we'll be okay. So hopefully enjoy the, you know, usually we're coming on, we're pumping, but I think, you know, I want to be honest with everybody. I don't want to sugarcoat stuff. I want people to know where we are. And, but like I said, I think at the end of it, we're going to come out, we're going to be fine. We're going to come out strong. We're making a lot of changes to ensure that we do come out strong. So, just lastly, if you're going to bet, we do have the TV station. Nobody else has it in any region in the state. This is it. So if you're going to support somebody, you should be supporting the local guys and support Capital OTB. So we hope you do. We appreciate your support. We appreciate, the work that all our employees have done. I mean, that's one of the tough things. Our employees who are the front line in all our branches are now sitting home. Our branches are closed.
Yeah, it's eerie out in the front of the clubhouse.
Yeah,
the past
you walk through here.
Don't get to see the customers.
Yeah,
I see out there.
You know, and really we've had like 3 years in a row where we've had very good years, and it's a lot of that is based on the employees. And I wish I could have taken some of that money and put it in a rainy day fund. I can't. I have to pay 100% of that out to the counties. So that's just the way it is. We were created to do that. That's the way the state did it. The state created us. So, but enjoy the races. It's going to be a great day. I know I'm going to be playing a little bit, and I hope we can get some new accounts opened. I hope we get some new support, and we'll see what happens going forward. I hope we can continue the shows. I'm going to have to follow up with the Gaming Commission to see if we can do that. If we can, we will. If we can't, then we'll do it when we can. So appreciate it, and we will. Next time we're back, hopefully we'll be back on better terms and better times, if you will.
Yeah, it's a new world, and everybody's kind of living through it. And I've said over the past couple of days, hopefully we're providing a little bit of a distraction. Tune into the news channels briefly, get your news, and then don't sit there and for hours and hours and get up the anxiety. Turn us on and watch some racing for a while.
Guys like us, Seth, we could throw on the OTB channel all day and we're all set. You know, you don't have to think about anything else going on. Go out, go for a walk, do some stuff around the house, and then flip on the OTB channel and you're all set.
Yeah, so. Stay safe, hunker down, and hopefully we all come out of this on the other side better off. Again, we appreciate your tuning in.
Absolutely.
John, appreciate your...
All right, Seth, thanks a lot.
Because I think that's what people want, just the straight talk now.
Yeah.
Give us where we are and what we're doing. And that's the situation now at OTB. So, again, appreciate the visit.
Yep.
All right, John Signor, president of Capital OTB. We'll take a quick break. When we come back, yesterday I talked with Joe Kristofek because, as John said, it is a big day of racing, highlighted by the Fairgrounds card, which has the Louisiana Derby. We talk about four of the big stakes with Joe Kristofek. All of that right after this. Stay tuned.
Welcome to Albany County, an incredible destination to live, work, and play. With easy connections to more than a dozen cities from our vibrant modern airport, it's a short trip downtown to a hive of culture and amusement. From world-class shows at the newly renovated Times Union Center to reliving the past at the New York State Museum. From outdoor recreation to shopping to nightlife, Albany County has something for everyone. We'll see you soon.
Wagering on horse racing just got a lot easier at Capital OTB with our newly designed state-of-the-art mobile wagering site. Everything you need is right here on one easy-to-navigate mobile platform. Set your favorite tracks, pick your horses, place your bets, all with a simple tap of the screen. Plus, you'll have access to Capital OTB TV for all our network programming. So log on to CapitalOTBBet.com and see just how easy wagering on horse racing can be.
Visit Rivers Casino and Resort, the Capital Region's only destination for live table game action and the hottest new slots paying out millions. And they're off. Horse betting is now at Rivers Casino and Resort with Capital off-track betting terminals and live tellers located just off the gaming floor at Van Slick's. Get in on all the action at Rivers Casino and Resort.
Joined now by our friend Joe Kristofek from the Fairgrounds, paddock commentator at the Fairgrounds, also the paddock commentator at Churchill Downs as well. And Joe, you and I were talking off the air a little bit, and the Churchill situation, obviously big news with the Derby being transferred to early in September. It's going to be interesting to see how other tracks respond to that. But you and I were talking off the air. It's just good that the Derby at this point still on the schedule and we can still look forward to it. It's going to change things up, but as you said, it will be interesting and intriguing in its own new and different way this year.
Yeah, man. Until we flatten this virus, I don't think anybody knows what to expect about like what point races are going to be added, how it's all going to play out moving forward. I think Churchill, my company just did a great job getting out in front of it and at least saying, hey, we understand the circumstances. They talked to NBC. They, put the Oaks and Derby the first Friday and Saturday of September. It changes the landscape of everything. A lot of people have to adapt or not adapt depending on what their own interests are, which everybody obviously completely understands as well. And until we get through this next couple of weeks or next month or so, I don't think we're going to have a whole heck of a lot of clarity on any front. So everybody's in the same boat, but we're all in different little boats, and a lot of us don't know exactly what direction we're heading in.
Yeah, you and I said it off the air, and I've been saying it for a while now. It's really hour by hour how things are changing, not just in society, but obviously in the racing game as well. And, you know, the decisions that are being made for the health of everybody, and so there's no arguments there. But certainly racing has provided a little bit of a respite for a number of people, and we hope that continues to be the case on Saturday with a big card down at the fairgrounds highlighted by your big race every year, the Louisiana Derby. We'll talk a little bit about that in a moment. First, give us an update. We're talking on Friday, but give us a little update on what the weather looks like for Saturday.
Yeah, the forecast has improved. There is a chance of a stray thunderstorm at some point of the afternoon. Don't know, you know, could be a little bit unpredictable here if it's a flash storm, if it's going to affect the way the track and the turf play, if it's going to be something that we don't need to worry about at all. Much like life in itself right now, I guess we just got to take it hour by hour. But our hope would be for fast and firm. And again, we've talked about this before, Seth, you know, Risen Star Day, and it definitely came to fruition. Rails are down on the turf, man. There's two paths of fresh grass. Turf course, admittedly, is quite a bit chewed up towards the end of the season here. So you'll want to pay attention to inside post, potentially speed in our grass races from race 1 all the way through race 12, which of course includes the Munis, the Grade 2 that we're going to talk about in just a couple of minutes.
Yeah, we'll go over the last four. We'll go over the New Orleans, the Munis, the Oaks, and we'll start things out taking a look at the Louisiana Derby. And a lot of the horses coming out of the two divisions of the Risen Star will be back. And so I called for both of those. First, we're going to take a look at the latter or the earlier division that was run back on February 15th, the one won by Mr. Monomoy. He subsequently went to the sidelines with a little ding. But Enforceable, the number 8, will finish second. Number 2, Silver State, runs third. They're back on Saturday afternoon. And I will say, both of these divisions, it's interesting, also Rans came back last Saturday at Oaklawn and kind of flattered both of these fields. Blackberry Wine wound up 7th in this race and came back and was spectacular last week against Maidens, given a quirky situation with that one. And in the latter division, Accession came back and ran second in the Rebel at 82-1 after having run 8th in that next division. And we'll go back-to-back with these. Here we're watching Mr. Monomoy win. And again, Enforceable 2nd, Silver State 3rd. And in the next division, Modernist, the Bill Mott runner, winds up winning the number 1 horse. Major Fed runs 2nd, New York Traffic 3rd, then Mailman Money, Mr. Big News not in, but Lynn's Map is in. So what, 5 of the top 6 are coming back. I also think Chestertown is interesting, coming out of the close-up second place finish in the optional claimer a little bit earlier in the meet. That's the $2 million horse for our friends at West Point. But I'm going to go for Silver State. And again, he was 3rd in that earlier division of the Risen Star that we looked at. But I thought, you know, the Steve Asmussen horse, I liked him that day as the lukewarm 3-1 favorite. I'm going to take a little pop with him again. Silver State, and then I have Enforceable underneath, and Chestertown. But I think, boy, there's a number of ways you can go in here. What are your thoughts in the Louisiana Derby?
Well, let me ask you a question first. All you New York guys with this Chestertown team, like, you're not the first person I've heard say that. I mean, he's got to run a lot better, man. I mean, the allowance race is decent, but you're talking about Shake Some Action is going to be a long shot in the Louisiana Derby. I'll tell you, I was back at Asmussen Barn. He looks like a $2 million horse, that's for sure, but certainly needs to run better, run faster. I think that the first division of the Risen Star was twice as good as the second division. So I'm going to go into this race saying to myself, you know what? I'm going to be using the horses in the first division, maybe some new suitors as well. We'll talk about that moving forward. But the time was almost a second faster. The horses coming out of it, I thought going into the race, were better, and I think it was proven on the racetrack. And Mr. Monomoy, interestingly enough, he brought up his name. He's got 50 Kentucky Derby points. He's on the sidelines, like you said, with a little ding. come September, he might, Darren Rogers might have to take his pencil and, you know, erase that line that he drew through Mr. Bonamoy's name. He might be back in the picture. That's how strange the world is right now. So, you know, that being said, Enforceable ran great. You mentioned Silver State. He ran great. I thought Lynn's Map ran a sneaky good race. I'm going to be looking at the horse coming out of that first division for sure. But the horse I picked on top as well is Bayou, and I talked to Brad Cox on the phone the other day, and you would think coming out of the Southwest, he would just go back in the Rebel. But I think Brad was a little bit proud of himself when he decided to come to this race instead for a couple different reasons. There was a suicidal pace in the Rebel. You run into a monster in the Doll. You know, Wells Bayou would have been forwardly placed in that particular race and probably wanted no part of it. Now he's going to be in a situation where, to me, he looks like the lone speed. And if you look at his pedigree, you know, it looks like he'll get the mile in 3/16, which it's going to be a big deal in this Louisiana Derby with the extension of the distance for the first time. You get Florent Giroux, who's a very good forward rider and a patient rider who doesn't get rattled under circumstances. And he ran great in the Southwest. He was hustled out of the starting gate. The pace was fast. He held on. He ran second best behind Silver Prospector, who that day was very good. So based on the circumstances, he's a new suitor, and I think, like I said, there's not going to be a ton of early pace to go with him. I think Wells Bayou is the horse to beat, and if you can get half that morning line, 4-1, 9-2, I think that would be fair.
I took a real look at him. I almost put him in my mix, so I wouldn't argue against that one. I just want to see, you know, with the mile and 3/16 and a long stretch there, how that speed holds. But as I say, I would not argue against. All right, let's move a little bit earlier. Where is the Derby? Perhaps a little bit of a puzzle. I think the Oaks is maybe a little bit more of a free square for people, perhaps. We're going to go back and look at the Rachel Alexandra, and it will be number 7, Finite, getting it done. She has looked very good at Fairgrounds this season, winning the Rachel Alexandra and the Silver Bullet Day, the steps on the way to this Fairground Oaks. She looks pretty good again Saturday in a field of 6. Tempers Rising, you know, if you're looking for underneath, that could be the way to go for Dallas Stewart. But your thoughts in the Oaks, do you have anything clever beyond Finite?
She's got the best post. She's the best horse in the race. She couldn't be doing any better. Winchell, Steve, the whole team, they love winning these three-year-old filly races at Fairgrounds. They've been pointing to this series the entire time. She's remarkably consistent, and she was better than ever in the Rachel Alexandra. So unless something crazy happens, like she takes a huge step backwards and somebody takes a huge step forward, I agree with you. She looks like a free space. Bonnie South is the other logical horse here. Debuted sprinting, stretched out, ran second, awarded first money when O Serafina was disqualified, one of the Joe Sharp horses, one of the many. And then, you know, comes back, puts blinkers on, and instead of showing more speed, it's kind of out the back. With a fast pace in front of her, she closes great, she wins, she beats She Dares the Devil, came back and won the Honeybee at Oaklawn in her next start. And Brad said to me on the phone the other day, he's like, we figured her out, the kind of filly that doesn't want to be rushed. We're going to take back, hopefully there's an honest pace. We know she's going to run late. We like her, we always have liked her. So if you're looking for an upset, I think the clear second choice to me would be Bonnie South. And interestingly enough, Finite and Bonnie South are both by Bunning. And who would have thought, you know, over the course of the last couple of years of, with him as a stallion, that he would have one for sure and maybe two, you know, prominent Kentucky Oaks contenders. So I'm interested to see how Bonnie South runs Seth, but, you know, it's pretty obvious that Finite's going to be tough.
Yeah, I put Tempers Rising in the second spot and Bonnie South in the third spot. But the more you talk, the more that may be a mistake, because Bonnie South, being lightly raced, maybe has more of the upside potential. And at this point, they look almost similar on what's on the page. And so with Bonnie South maybe having the more upside, maybe that is a more logical alternative. Although, I don't know if we need an alternative. I think Finite has these over a little bit of a barrel. Let's move to the Munoz Memorial. A mile and an eighth on the grass. Fun field. I mean, this is a full field of 13 scheduled to run. We are going to take a look at the Fairgrounds Stakes from February 15th. Number four Factor This will win. Number two Synchrony winds up running second. They are both live on Saturday in the Munoz. I put Synchrony on top. I thought that second place finish in the Fairgrounds might have this one set up to run well. Certainly will be heard from down the stretch. But Factor This, who finishes in front in the replay we're going to look at, does wind up in the field as well. But I thought Synchrony, Channel Maker in the second spot for me, Instilled Regard. And then I put Factor This down in the fourth spot because that race last time to me, the Fairgrounds, looked like a little bit of an aberration, but maybe it's just a horse for a course kind of an angle. So I'm taking maybe a slight stand against Factor This. And the morning line kind of indicates that the expectation is the betting public is as well. I'll be interested to see. But what are your thoughts on the Munoz?
Yeah, top to bottom, this race is a lot stronger than the Fairgrounds. I mean, at the Fairgrounds, what was Synchrony? I mean, he was odds on, right? He was 7-5. And in this race, you're throwing some new suitors in there. You're throwing a Channel Maker who's earned $2.1 million. You're throwing in Silver Regard, who's in the best form of his career. You're throwing in Aquaphobia for Make. I mean, just top to bottom, a lot deeper race. If I had a horse in here, I would be on the edge of my seat for the draw. Because with the rails down, and we saw it last time, Seth, with Factor This one, Gate to Wire, you know, he's on the lead, and he's running on the fresh part of the turf course. And it's exactly what we're going to see again on Saturday. Synchrony is majorly compromised from post position number 12. If Joe Bravo can somehow show a little tactical speed and put himself on the rail, maybe sitting mid-pack going in and out of the first turn, his chances are going to improve immensely. I was back at the barn visiting him. I had never met the horse before. He's a seven-year-old, and you can tell that he's a little bit of an older horse, but, man, this horse is spry, one of the cooler horses I think I've ever met in person, quite honestly, and he's been training like a beast since the race, but, man, he's got to try to work a trip from out there.
Yeah.
I put so much emphasis on having some tactical speed and being able to work out an inside trip in races like this. Dot Matrix is probably the seventh most talented horse in this race, but he's got tactical speed, he's got the rail, he's got Florent Giroux, he's cutting back from a mile and a half, and he's going to get a great trip, man. He's going to sit right in the pocket. You know, he might be second, third, fourth, fifth early on, but he's going to be two or three lengths within, you know, striking distance of the lead the entire trip. Factor This is going to make the lead. He's dangerous, too, but it looks like Norm Cassie has entered a rabbit here in Secretary at War, who, interestingly enough, used to be trained by Brad Cox, but he claims this one for 40, and he puts the blinkers on, and he puts the biscuit on. So that's telling me this horse is going to go to the lead, try to keep Factor This honest, maybe try to set it up for Don't Blame Rocket, who I think is still a second-tier contender. But it's a fascinating race, and again, if I can get 8, 10, 12 to 1 on Dot Matrix, just because the rails are going to be down and he's going to get the trip, I'm going to take it.
Dot Matrix in New York, Brent, so certainly we'll root for them. 10 Strike Racing, our friend Marshall Graham's ownership group, and so I certainly would be happy to see them get it done. Again, on the New York bred side, that would be a little bit of a boost for that program. Let's move on to the New Orleans Classic, the ninth race on the card on Saturday. And again, this sequence we've looked at, races 9, 10, 11, and 12, and all stakes pick four. That should be a lot of fun on Saturday as well. While we take a look at this race, I'm going to pull up a replay from that Gulfstream optional claimer on February 1st. Fearless is going to take a lot of attention for Todd Pletcher off the 99 buyer win in the second career start. Fearless here will be the number eight horse, wins by a chart margin of just under nine lengths in this second start in the career. It's Todd Pletcher, China Horse Club, so some potent connections. Obviously, this is a big ask, a big step up. I thought he was interesting. I will also note, a lot of these Gulfstream Park Pletcher winners, as the year progresses, they can't quite live up to what we saw at Gulfstream. That's a concern, but this may be a special horse. I used him on top of Silver Dust underneath in the second spot for me. What are your thoughts on the New Orleans?
The first thing that comes to mind is, who is the public going to bet? Because Fearless is 9-2, Silver Dust is 2-1, and if you can get anywhere near 6-1 on By My Standards, you can get behind me in line. He's not going to be anywhere near 6-1. I'm just curious who the favorite's going to be. Is it going to be Fearless? Is it going to be Silver Duff? By my standards, I think it's going to take a lot of money. This is a fascinating race. Let's start with Fearless. And, you know, the positives are the horse has been really good in two lifetime starts. Talking to Todd on the phone the other day, he basically said, yeah, you know, we wanted a Gulfstream mile and a 16th. We want to see what this horse can do over a legitimate mile and an eighth with a long stretch and test them early. Let's find out how good he is. The race at Gulfstream going a mile and a 16th is a short stretch race. In that race as well, he also got a perfect pressing trip outside of a 40-1 shot. The horse that ran second that day did come back and win, but he came back and won a 25-3. This horse was under a drive in the stretch. I know it says wrapped up late, and he was, and he was wrapped up very late, though. That long stretch, when he turns for home, Seth, he's going to be like, whoa, how much further do you want me to run? Seriously, so I could run. I mean, he could win, but, man, he could run fourth or fifth. It's a big test for him. I love By My Standard. If you go back and watch his replay, I mean, that was a public workout. When it says, as rider, please, I mean, he could have rode side saddle home. And this horse has trained like a beast since then. He's got good tactical speed. Brett Calhoun's done a just fabulous job with this horse. And I think it's going to be his coming out party. I know last year's Louisiana Derby was kind of his coming out party. I know he ran in the Kentucky Derby and didn't disgrace himself. He had some hoof issues going into that race and worse coming out of it. They gave him the time he needed, a bigger, stronger, faster version of himself. And I'm really excited. I think By My Standards could be, and I agree with Brett Calhoun because he said it himself, one of the top handicap horses in the country this year. And Brett's got Silver Dust at the race. And basically, Tom Durant wanted to run in this race and Chester Thomas wanted to run in this race. And it's Brett with his two best horses going hoof-to-hoof, which adds even a little bit more intrigue. You know, Silver Dust won going a mile and a 16th on the mineshaft last time, but he's 0-4 going 9 furlongs. And Gunnett, I think, has got a little bit of a chance because he was getting to him going a mile and a 16th, and he's a big goofball. You know, by Tappet, he's still figuring things out there. But Steve Asmussen has just done a remarkable job with this horse. And I think as he gets older, he's going to get better, too. So he would be my sleeper, but By My Standards, he's the horse that I'm keying my entire day on.
Yeah, By My Standards, that win last time was off a layoff since the Kentucky Derby. And he may be another one of those horses that is making that older division very, very intriguing this year. As you say, this could be the coming out party as far as him in the handicap division. And I wouldn't argue against him at all. Joe, before we let you go, a couple other topics. Brilliant Racing, your racing partnership. Give us a little update on the situation there.
Man, I'm telling you what, I want to run Louisiana Derby Day because I want to run Louisiana Derby Day, but we've got two horses in too. And who the heck knows when we're going to be able to run again? I mean, Keeneland's canceled. I'm guessing, and I don't know anything for sure, so this isn't any inside information by any stretch of the imagination, but I'm guessing Churchill's probably going to back up at least the start of the spring meet. So we don't know when we're going to run again. So, you know, we want to run badly Saturday. Templet's putting the blinkers back on. He had a bullet workout the other day. He and Steely Danza worked in company. Templet's a turf horse, and he beat Steely Danza. So he couldn't be training any better. We're very, very, very excited about running him. He's in the fourth race on Saturday. And then Steely Danza was disappointing at Oaklawn last time. We probably asked a little bit too much of him that day. He's in a really tough race in the seventh, just trying to get a better gauge on what to do with him moving forward, whether or not he's a two-turn horse or a one-turn horse. He's a big horse that still has a lot of growing up to do, and we're excited about him as well, but we really think Temple's going to run a big race. And, you know, Brilliant 3 is still open for business, but we don't know what's going to happen with these sales coming up. So, like everything else in life, Seth, just kind of in wait-and-see mode as far as our third partnership goes, but we're excited about the prospects moving forward. We just don't know when those prospects are going to come to fruition.
Well, we certainly root for you in the two spots tomorrow. And I pulled up the website, brilliant horseracing.com, if folks want a little more info and maybe want to become involved. Fun way to do it, because you guys have had some nice success so far. So, again, brilliant horseracing.com. And again, before we let you go, just a little update, because I pulled up the Equibase stats and we are heading to the end of the meet. Just give us some thoughts on the meet end and how it went. And I pulled up the human numbers, the leading trainer going into the end of the meet. James Graham on top, Mitchell Mural in the second slot, actually tied with Colby Hernandez. Flojo Florentiero fourth in the jockey side of things. And on the trainer side, Brad Cox, a couple ahead of Ron Fischot. Tommy Amos running third, Steve Asmussen and Brett Calhoun. Some familiar names on both sides. Again, give us a little summation of the 2019-2020 meet.
Yeah, it's been interesting. On the jockey side, James is looking for another title here at Fairgrounds. He's won them before, where Mitchell and Colby have never won. I believe Mitchell might be done for the meet, though. I know there's a few riders across the country that are basically just saying they want this virus situation to clear, and have to respect that decision from Mitchell. Colby's a Louisiana boy. He'd love to win the title here. And a lot's going to depend, obviously, Seth, on what happens moving forward in the meet. We're supposed to run through March 29th, but obviously it's a day-to-day situation. And then Brad Cox, I mean, he's loaded on Louisiana Derby Day, and Fauché's been winning a lot of the lower-level claimers with the Louisiana bred. So kind of a tale of two completely different barns. But again, if we race through the end of the meet, that battle will go down to the wire.
Joe, as always, we appreciate the conversation. We wish you and everybody at Fairgrounds tomorrow good luck and a safe afternoon. And we wish everybody a safe springtime as well, as things are in flux. Again, always appreciate the conversation. I usually say we'll talk again, and I'll say that this time as well. And I will add, I hope it's sooner rather than later.
Yeah, me too. And, you know, if you... any of the viewers out there have anybody that's new to racing, I'm making a conscious effort right now to kind of dumb down the analysis, and maybe that's a little bit of an extreme way to put it, but kind of be educational in the analysis that I'm doing to maybe get some newer people interested, educated. Seth, we love this game, and the more you know about it, the more other people are going to love it as well. So trying to be educational in the analysis, as long as we race here at Fairgrounds, to try to get some new people up to speed and get them to love the game even a percentage of as much as we love it. So that's going to be my approach for as long as I'm able to be here at Fairgrounds.
A great idea, because I've kind of said the same thing. We're in here doing the afternoon handicapping show 5 days a week, and I've tried to – I typically try to do it anyway, because we show four tracks during the afternoon, and I always think somebody may be playing one track. So the other tracks, I try to give some information as well on, hey, this jockey is, like Edgar Prado, is four away from moving up on the top 10 list, or just an angle. And I try to give some things that not only racing people who may not be attentive to that particular track on that afternoon might find interesting and want to watch that race, but I think new people to the game, if we can toss out some of those little tidbits that are you know, kind of the old Olympics, up close and personal things that'll kind of spark something in them. Oh, okay, I'll root for the three horse in this next race. I think that's a great idea.
Everybody loves the race. You go to a NBA stadium, you see the Dunkin' Donuts race on the big board, and people are cheering and going nuts trying to win a donut or a cup of coffee. So everybody loves a race. But people need to understand there is a method to the madness when we're trying to figure this stuff out. And if you like to try to figure out the puzzle and you get it right, you're going to get paid. So we love the game. It can be a little bit complicated or intimidating when you first start out, but if you educate and you learn a little something every time that you pay attention to what's going on, I think you'll wind up loving horse racing as well.
Joe, again, appreciate the conversation, and we will talk again.
You got it.
Joe Christofek, paddock commentator from the Fairgrounds. Thanks to Joe Christofek for the visit and the insights on what's a really nice card this afternoon at the Fairgrounds. Again, a reminder, there's an all-stakes late pick four. There's an all-stakes late pick five. It's the Black Gold Five, which today will have a mandatory payout. There's $115,000 in the pool. Take a look at that late pick five at fairgrounds. Again, you may make Finite a free square, which will allow you to play around a little bit, maybe some of the other legs. 50-cent increment. Take a look at that Black Gold pick five. Starts out in race number eight. And I think I said, what, about 3:30 for us this afternoon, if I'm not mistaken? That will kick off. Yeah, about 3:30 our time. That will kick off. Fairgrounds themselves kicks off 11 o'clock their time, which means just a little over an hour our time. Fairgrounds will kick in. So OTB Live for Saturday afternoon, probably about an hour away, we'll jump in and start taking a look at Fairgrounds. We'll also have some Gulfstream this afternoon, a little Tampa, some Oaklawn as well. They're still racing out in Southern California also. So there is plenty of action here on the network this afternoon. As noted, trying to perhaps provide a little bit of a distraction as well as just some racing fun for people who normally play the races, but maybe folks are kind of tuning in and have a little rooting interest as we talk during the afternoon and highlight horses and whatnot. So again, hopefully we can get your mind off things a little bit through a few hours on this Saturday afternoon, particularly with the great card at the fairground. So I'm going to wrap things up for this edition of Racing Across America. Thanks to Joe Christofek from Churchill Downs. And we started things out this morning with Capital OTB President John Signor, just giving us a little update on the situation here at Capital OTB. Clearly, the message, stay safe, stay healthy as best as you can. With the governor's order going into effect tomorrow night, it looks like we'll all kind of be hunkered down at home for a period of time. And again, hopefully things work out and that strategy proves to be effective. And we all come out of this on the other end sooner rather than later in good fashion. That is the hope. But again, here at the network, we're trying to provide a little bit of a distraction and some fun in the meantime. And we invite you to stay tuned for the afternoon OTB Live coming up again in about an hour or so. Mike Callahan will join me as well. And he was red hot yesterday at Fairgrounds. So we'll see if he can keep the roll going and give out some nice ideas this afternoon. But we'll be taking a look at some of that racing action from the various venues this afternoon on OTB Live. Again, because of the early start of Fairgrounds kicking off fairly soon. So wrapping it up for Racing Across America, do want to thank once again our sponsor, Gulfstream Park, for their sponsorship of some of the programming and promotions. Gulfstream Park, champions start here. Seth Merrill on a Saturday morning, as always, we really thank you for tuning in, and we certainly look forward to seeing you a little bit later this afternoon for OTB Live. See you then.
You're watching OTB TV, a service of Capital Off-Track Betting.